Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Jeff Coulter, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Ask Big from a Big God, already in progress.
This is a healing school. We talk about things like, what is it that might have opened the door to make you sick in the first place? How to get well, how to get healed. We talk about how to walk in health. It's not God's perfect will to heal you. It's God's perfect will that you don't get sick in the first place. As a Christian, that you grab a hold of, wait a minute, I'm not subject to this stuff the way that everybody else is. God gave me something different. He gave me authority over all power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Last month, we said that faith is not the issue. Faith is not your problem. Faith is not why you're not being healed if you've been praying and asking God to heal you. The issue is what you're putting your faith in. We all have faith. The question is, where do we put it? We also said that a good definition of faith is being sure that the one who promised will fulfill that promise. That faith is more about the promiser than it is about the promise. We also said that we grow in our faith. The number one way, and what we're going to talk about today, is to get to know the promiser better. The more you know the one that's making the promise, the easier it is to believe the promise. You say, well, of course my God would do that. He said so. You know, how could he not do that? I want to focus in on prayer today. Let's turn to Luke 11:1. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. It's interesting to me that they spent 3 years with Jesus, walking with him, doing stuff with him, seeing the stuff that he did. And the Bible says they actually did a bunch of it themselves. And they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to heal. Lord, teach us how to study. Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. The only one of those that it mentions, the only question they asked was, Lord, teach us how to pray. Of all the questions that they could have asked, they said, Lord, we see that there's something here. We see that there's somehow power in this. We see you doing it a lot, and we don't have a clue. Teach us to pray. So when the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray, he responded by giving them a model. We call it the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to look at that. Jesus said, after this manner, after this pattern, after this method, therefore pray. Some of us do kind of get in that mode of, Lord, I don't want a whole lot. Stale bread's okay. If that's all you got, stale bread, Lord, give me stale bread. Lord, mold, as long as I can cut it off, I'm okay. Lord, if you can find it in your heart to heal them. Or actually, you know what? Lord, don't even heal them. Just help the doctor to do what he does. Actually, never mind about that. As they're recovering, a little bit of extra grace, God, that's all I'm asking, really. That's what we do. Every food miracle in the Bible ended up with more than enough. In the Old Testament, Elisha, there was oil that didn't run out and didn't run out and didn't run out and didn't run out until the jars that held it ran out. There was always more than enough. Jesus, with the 4,000, with the 5,000, always more than enough. Your God is a God of abundance. And so even though we're asking for the word bread, your God is a God of abundance. So don't ask little. If you have a small God, you're going to have small faith. If your God's big, you'll have big faith. I'm going to say that again. A small God results in small faith and small requests. If you hear someone asking small, it's because their God is small. When you know how big God is, you'll ask big. Because the scripture says that he can and does do above all you can ask or even imagine. Okay, I can imagine pretty big. But God says, get to know me more. You get a bigger God, you'll have bigger faith. That's about the size of the promiser. It's not the size of the problem. Not even the size of the promise, it's about the size of the promiser. God only leads us into success. Whenever you have trials in your life, It's because God's setting you up for success. If you'll know the heart of God in that and not say, you know, why me, if you'll say, thank you, Lord, because I know that the trial of my faith is making me pure gold. I know that you work everything for good in my life. I know that he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Lord, I haven't been left alone. It might feel like that for a second, but I know that that's not true according to your word. That's the kind of trial that will work success in your life. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. If we belong to the Lord, and it says yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, isn't ours the kingdom and the power and the glory too? Isn't this a family business? Aren't we family? That's why Jesus can say, I've given you power and authority over all power of the enemy. That's why Psalms 8, verse 3, David says, when I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge of everything that you've made, putting all things under their authority. Wow, is right. If we grabbed a hold of who we are, all things are under our feet. He gave us authority, King James says, over the work of his hands. David even recognized in the Old Testament, Lord, you've given us a place of authority. We try so many times as Christians, we think this is it. This is our world. And so we're going to work to be the best that we can in this world. And we forget about the supernatural. So I'm going to avoid pesticides, herbicides, toxic off-gassing city water, of course. And what are we doing? We're mastering the natural instead of doing what Psalms 8 says. It says he put all things under our feet. Psalm 91 says, no evil will befall me, neither will any plague come near my dwelling. When we realize who we belong to, when we realize whose we are, this stuff doesn't have to affect us. It is to some degree right now because we haven't gotten it yet. And we're getting there. Again, there's no condemnation. You know, in the Old Testament, God says, I'm giving you the promised land, but you're going to have to take it by force one city at a time. And you and I, we take this one city at a time. So don't let the enemy accuse you and say, yeah, you ought to be a better Christian for as long as you've known the Lord. You ought to be a Billy Graham. The enemy will say stuff to you like that. And because he's telling you to be more spiritual, you think it must be from the Lord. Yeah, I know. I'm not the man I ought to be. You're a child of God. When you begin to walk like a child of God, this stuff won't affect you. We looked at the Lord's Prayer. I want to look at something real quick before we close. I don't know if you've ever done this, but you said, talking to someone you loved, I love you. And you can hear the crickets chirp. Didn't you hear me? I said, I loved you. Yeah, I heard you. I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but oh, it's a terrible feeling. God, we open up his word. He says, I love you. Yeah. Let's have a conversation with the Lord through his word. Begin to pray back the word of God. Doesn't matter what passage that you're reading, you can pray it back. So it might look like you're reading the entire passage through, and then you go back to read it again, and you say, okay, Lord, every phrase. I'll give you an example. We said Psalm 23 earlier, okay? Let's read Psalm 23. If you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 23. I've got King James. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Great, great, great chapter. Love it. So what if, right when I got done reading that, I went back through and every single phrase I prayed, the Lord is my shepherd. God, you're God. You're amazing. You're not just the shepherd. You're my shepherd. You're my God, and I thank you for being my God. And Lord, in the places where I've worried about my provision, in the place where I've worried about my protection, in the place where I've worried about where I'm going to go in life, my guidance, Lord, that's a shepherd's job. Forgive me for taking that job. Lord, you're my shepherd. You're God. There's nobody like you. Then I look down at the next line. I shall not want. Lord, thank you that every one of my needs are taken care of. You're amazing. As I said earlier, when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, it was his idea to have us ask. But we don't ask to inform God. He knows what our needs are. In fact, the very line before the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, because your Father knows what you have need of. Pray this way. He still says, ask. He says, ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asks receives. In James, he says, you don't have because you don't ask. It's a funny combination. Lord, you already know what I have need of. Why am I asking? Because I've told you to. It's good. It's communication. Then you know that I did it when you get it. It wasn't you who just figured it out. I shall not want. Lord, you care for every one of my needs. Lord, I don't have a worry in the world. And Lord, when I'm tempted to, forgive me. Lord, when I take any one of those jobs back on me, that's when I want. That's when I worry. That's when I'm in need. Lord, as long as you're my shepherd, I don't want. And you can do that with every phrase of any chapter that you're reading in the Bible, any passage. Read it through, and then go back through and pray it back to the Lord. Okay, Lord, you just said something to me, and I don't want to be the one that hears, I love you, and ignores it, or says, yeah. Lord, you just spoke something to me from your heart. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. It might be that you're reading Scripture, and God says, psst, let me tell you a secret. Are you serious, God? You're going to tell me something you've never told anybody before? Maybe he will. Have a conversation with the Lord, even in your Bible reading. Then it's not checking boxes. It's communication.
You have been listening to Jeff Coulter of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Ask Big from a Big God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.